All right, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. And look at verse number 7. This is the last epistle, that means a letter, that the apostle, I mean, one of the chosen 12 the Lord had, and was the 13th. Judas failed by transgression, went to his own place. And this is the last book he wrote before they cut his head off. 2 Timothy. And he says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Make sure you underline that word course in that verse if you got something. He didn't say race. The race still ain't finished. He just run his course. The race you and I are in tonight is a relay race. Paul took his torch and handed it to Timothy. Timothy run his course, handed it to somebody else. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Joe Parson, Ed McAvey, somebody handed it to me. I'm still running my course. The race ain't over till we all get there. The big race. We're just running our course in the race. And that's why he said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Look what he said in verse 8. Reminds me of those people over in Afghanistan that had to die in the last week. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about staying the course. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old, and I've seen literally people start out. I've seen people start out good. I've seen people start out like you thought, Lord in mercy, they're going to be the next worldwide evangelist. And tonight, they don't even go to church. I've seen thousands of people sing the choir, go visiting, give out tracts, pray, fast, work at the church, and tonight, they're nowhere to be found. What happened to people like that? Where'd they go? What happened to them? We're no better than they are. We're not. You don't stay right with God because of willpower. It's not a matter of your will, but it's a matter of your desire, that's for sure. That's for sure. And tonight I'm going to talk about staying the course. That word stay the course means to keep going strongly to the end of a contest. That means like boxing, racing, football, any sport you can imagine, you can apply that to. You keep, give it 100% until the game is over. You go real good to halftime, fool around the second half, you get beat. A lot of people quit in the second half. We're in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter, people. I mean, we're almost at the end of the game, brother. It is no time to be quitting. Somebody said it like this. It is to pursue a difficult task or activity to the end. To the end. I mean, bless the Lord, come hell or high water. We could pursue it until the very end. We don't say we'll serve God unless that happens. We don't say, well, I'll serve him, but if buddy, I've seen people do that. I've heard people say, well, my wife left me, or my husband left me. I didn't know God was going to let this happen and go out and get drunk and hunt them one. You don't put conditions. You don't say, Lord, I'll serve you as long as everything goes to suit me. You go, Lord, I'll serve you by your grace and finish my course. By your grace. It ain't always easy. It ain't always fun, but you can do it. It means persevere. It means to keep on. It means to persist. Sometimes you can't see the road ahead of you when you're driving, but you keep going. And when you keep going, it gets clear. I don't understand it, but for some reason, I guess it's a hole down there from about exit 105 all the way up to 103 or almost 100. It's foggy in there every morning. And when we play early basketball, you can be sunshining right here. And when you get down there, it's just fog. You can't even hardly see. Maybe the Lord don't like what he sees over there, probably. I'm trying to blot it out. But it's fog, but you know what? I was thinking, well, that sun's shining behind me, so another sun's shining up ahead of me. So I just go through this fog and pay attention. And God, it don't stay foggy forever. That's the way life is. Sometimes it's just as clear as a bell. Sometimes you can just feel God all over you. Sometimes you can just shout, boy, it's good to be saved. And then other times, buddy, you don't know where you're going from one day to the next or what you're going to do, right? And so during those times, stay the course. Keep like man run a ship or an airplane. I'm just fascinated. Joe back there can tell you a lot more about this. I know very little about him, but I know those big planes, they fly by their instruments. They don't fly by their feelings. They don't fly by what looks right. They fly by those instruments. And you have got to learn how to do that, people. You can't go. You live your Christian life by your feelings. Like one day you'll feel like charging hell with a water pistol, and the next day you'll just feel like just giving up and going and watching a movie, Morgan and somewhere. See, you cannot do that. You got to go by the instruments. This is your instrument panel right here. Amen. This is it. No matter how I feel, I've got to go by that. Now, we're in a storm. Ain't no doubt about it. I was going to make a sermon out of this, and I still might. But the other day, I was mowing grass after that big storm. I think we had a storm about two Saturday nights ago, that real bad one Saturday evening. I'm telling you, buddy, that's a bad one. And them trees are bending down, and limbs was flying in the yard, we got a lot of trees around the house there. And when I had to mow grass, I paid Molly to go out there and pick up all them limbs. I could have just made her do it, but she does stuff usually. So I said, Molly, I'll pay you if you go out there and pick up them limbs. That, and I got mowing with my lawnmower out, and there was still limbs all over the yard. And I asked myself the question. I said, why is that limb down and that one's still on the tree? Why is that one? And the answer is, it's dead. It's dead. And buddy, this coronavirus thing, it's been a storm coming through churches. And there's a lot of limbs ain't here no more. It's dead still with. I hate to say that. Now, it will blow off a few healthy limbs. Sometimes a healthy limb will be broken off. But 9 out of 10 of them limbs on the ground was dead already while they were still on that tree. And it just blew them down. If they'd have been strong, rooted, hooked up to that tree just right, it wouldn't have done it. And that's scary because a lot of folks that I thought was hooked into the tree evidently wasn't. Blew them away. And I'm, look, if somebody's watching me online and you get offended by that, I don't mean it like, I know there are people who said, my mom's 90 years old and I understand that. If you are legitimately staying home because you are worried or you have a health issue, and we do have people like that, Pinky and him, 90 something years old, he's weak. I don't criticize anybody for saying, I can't risk it because my wife's got real bad problems. I mean, she gets coronavirus, she dies. I don't have a problem with somebody that really believes that. What I have a problem with is people that can go everywhere else but church. Work, Lowe's, Walmart. I seen a guy at Rule King the other day. How come you won't come to church? Well, we're staying away from crowds. There's a lot more people in Rule King than they are in here tonight. I judge by the parking lot. I bet you there's 200 in there. 300 in there that day. I called a guy on the phone. Why ain't you been to church? He said, we're staying away from crowds. We don't want to get that old stuff. And I said, well, we got lights. There's places you can sit by yourself. You don't have to shake hands. You don't have to da-da-da-da-da-da. And finally, right before he hung up, he said, well, I got to go. I'm getting out here at Lowe's. And I'm telling you, it took all I could do to keep from saying, I didn't. I said, well, Lord bless you. And I don't have a problem with somebody that's legitimately have health issues. I don't ever say you should put yourself at risk or people you love. I'm not telling nobody to do that, and I ain't. But I got problems with people who just let this knock them out of church and not serving God. Man told me the other day, he said, I talked to a preacher. Man's a preacher. A man was a preacher of the gospel. And he said, I hadn't been to church since last March. Preacher. And he said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, well, it's not going everywhere else. He told this guy that. He said, and you know the bad thing about it. He said, my preacher ain't even called me to check on me. Well, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. One way to look at it is there's no reason in the world why a preacher ought to have to call a preacher, a grown, healthy man, and ask him to come to church. Amen? Lord have mercy, y'all. I mean, if you're grown and healthy and you're saved, we ought not to have to baby you to get you to come to church. Lord have mercy. Is that how bad it is? Some people shouldn't have to beg you to come if you're healthy. Well, anyway, I ain't going to preach on that. But anyway, a man is not finished when he's defeated. You listen? A man is not finished when he's defeated. A man is finished when he quits. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. So let's talk about how to stay the course. First, I'm going to show you how to do it. And you pray for me. I ain't no big tough thing or nothing. I'm tough, but I ain't tough enough to fight the devil and the person over in Afghanistan Sunday. Now, buddy, God give me grace if that ever happens to me. That's all I can say is God give me grace. I hope and pray he'd give us grace. I don't know if I could do that on my own strength. I'm not that strong. But I tell you what we need to do. I tell you what we need to do during these times. Number one, you make sure that you spend time with God every single day. You've got to do that. It's your lifeline. You've got to. You've got to get up early enough to spend time with the Lord and you're on your knees and in that Bible before you go to work. It's essential. It's absolutely essential that you get in the Word of God and pray every single day of your life. Now, your main devotion time might be in midday when the kids are at school. That's fine. It might be at night before you go to bed. That's fine. But I'm telling you, if you don't get with God in the morning, I know how it is with me. If I don't get everything right in the morning, doing right, it seems like the whole day you just run into obstacles and things go wrong and something else goes cattywampus, like kids say, and everything goes haywire. But I get up every morning and I read my Bible and I pray. I usually get all my chapters read. I'm just starting in my New Testament for the 101st time last weekend. And I'm at right now. I started Sunday or Monday. I'm Matthew chapter 9 tomorrow morning. I'll read Matthew 9 and 10. And then in my Old Testament, I will read Isaiah 46, 47, 48 tomorrow morning. Right there it is. And if I was to lose that or something, I can go back and tell you where I'm supposed to be because I got it marked what date I started Isaiah for years. And I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. I will not miss it within two or three chapters. And I keep going like that and keep going like that and keep going like that. And every day I say, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the sleep. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of us last night. And then I pray for all my family, Kelly, Molly, Frankie, Ethan, Carrie, Dax, Kerrigan, Aniston, Todd, Jeremy, Carissa, Corey, Gage, Talon, all, and I pray for every single one of them. And then I got a bunch of other stuff that I pray for. I pray for people that are having specific needs here in our church. And then I pray for my health. I pray, God, keep me healthy. This stuff could go wrong with us. We don't even know it. The doctors don't even know about. They don't know everything. God, please, if it could be your will, you know, I might fall over dead here tonight. But I say, Lord, keep me healthy. And then I pray for understanding of the scriptures, the end times, where does everything fit? There's a lot of disagreement. The devil's using this coronavirus thing and this vaccines thing to divide Christians, to divide churches, to divide our nation. And Christians and husbands and wives are fussing and fighting over disagreement. And I say, God, give me wisdom and strength and to give people the right advice. And everybody don't have to do just like I do, but But I pray for that every single morning. And then I pray for my uncle up in Ohio and my cousin up in Ohio and my cousin's husband in West Virginia and another cousin I got up there somewhere around Portsmouth, Ohio. Every morning, them four. I remember George Mueller prayed for all them guys 57 years and they finally all got saved. I've been praying for them four for years. My uncle, my daddy's only sibling that's left, is 80-something years old in Ohio, drinking himself to death. And y'all pray for him. I've actually prayed about taking my own personal missionary trip up there for a few days and try to win some of my family to God, because they're going to die and go to hell, some of them are, if they don't get saved. And I'm telling you, people, you've got to stay spending time with God. If you don't, you'll go to a kid's ball game and see people cheering and everything, thinking about the ball game, and not even thinking of them people's souls. You're not thinking right. When you see a crowd of people, the first thing on the mind, golly, they're going to hell, most of them. When you see them people on TV, you can forget it. You can forget straightening this world out. Forget that. That ain't going to happen. Evil men and sinners are going to wax worse and worse. I tell you what you can do. You can pull some out of the fire. You can reach some for Jesus and take them home when we leave out of here. You can do that. And I'll talk more about that in a second. But listen to preaching around the house. Get these things and put them up. I'm surprised we still got these things here. We pay like, I think $12 a piece for them, something like that. They're $10. You pay more for that than a lot more for that eating out one time. And you put these things, take them, put them on a boat and go, bam, put one of them screws in there and you can be a witness to thousands of people. Me and Ethan put one up there off exit 94 and it stayed about 2 weeks and we come up one day and it's gone. Gone. And all the rest of them signs are still there. You know what that means? Somebody's reading them things. Somebody's reading them and it's witnessing to them. So we're going to replace it with one of these. Nice little sign to share the love of Jesus with the community. But listen, you can't help but see them things. You don't need driver's license if you can't see that. Somebody, one of our brothers, he's watching out in California, got saved. Watching our church, I think. And he's preaching now. And he sent a text the other day to email to Kelly and said, I want one of them Jesus Saved shirts. he saw it right there and wanted it in California. So you don't have to be a big, brave, bold something or another. It don't take, the shyest person in the world can put one of them out on a tree right below your house. Really, be a witness. You want to stay the course? You know what helps me stay the course? Witness to everybody you see. Witness to them. Give them a track. Don't be scared. Don't be scared to witness. Brother Danny, are you ever scared? Yeah, and it's stupid. Why would we be scared? Why would we be scared? What are they going to do? Cuss you out? I mean, that ain't going to hurt you. Actually, it'd be good for you to get cussed out for the Lord. It really would. A little persecution is good for you. We need to know how this world feels about what we, me and you, believe in. They're not going to celebrate us everywhere. They never have and never will. And I don't want to go out and pick a fight, but I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. Get you some tracts in a nice way. Don't be us. And say, here you are. Leave you something to read there when you get time. And I'll tell you about your best friend. I done that. Where was I? Other day. And usually people say, oh, I know who that is. I know. But this girl somewhere, I don't even remember where it was. Like everyone said, here you go. I'll tell you about your best friend. Oh, it was at the store in Nebo. And she's sitting out front. And she said, who? I said, Jesus. She said, okay. Like, most people already know when you say, that'll tell you about your best friend. They know who you're talking about. But, you know, a boy that works, I think it was Walmart, young boy, running the cash register. I pay for my stuff. I pull out and say, here you go. Leave something around. He said, no, thank you. I've read the Bible through twice. And I want to say, so that makes you an authority on it. That makes you a genius. But I didn't. I was nice. I want to say, wow. you've read it twice, so you figured out it ain't right. And I fuss a lot about reading the Bible, going through the Bible. But the truth is, it ain't really how many times you go through it. It's how many times it go through you. It go through you one time, it'd do a miracle for you. You can't read the Bible just as a literary or historical book and find fault with. You got to read it with a believing heart, and you should. So witness to everybody you see. The bumper stickers, them little bumper stickers right there, $5. We don't make nothing off them. We lose money off all this stuff. It's an investment. And we're going to load it up here for the camp meeting. Some of y'all a little backslid on your bumper stickers. I used to see them all over the parking lot, but it stuck and you thought it made a scratch, or you took it off the car wash and you've been a little slack. I don't push you. Get back where we need to be. Get them out on there. If you take it off every time you wash your car, it'll be all right. Get them on there. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. You know, that helps me. That helps me when I walk in Walmart and I see people pushing buggies and they stop the back of my 4Runner and go, that helps me. That helps me stay the course, brother. But see, if you hide it and you have no tracks and no bumper stickers and those, then the devil can get his foot in the door. It real, real easy. I think when you take a new job, or you meet people, let them know up front where you stand. Because if you don't, then they all start cussing and laughing, and then you're too embarrassed to say anything. When I meet people, I'll say, yeah, I'm a preacher. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Well, they got it right there. They got their guard up right there. I've already let them know where I stand. You want to stay the course? Let people know where you stand. You say, well, preacher, I've been working a job for 2 or 3 months and nobody there knows I'm a Christian. Well, you ain't going to stay the course. You're going to let the wind blow you off somewhere. You're going to be gone. You're going to be gone. You say, well, I'm just nervous. Don't be scared. Good night. Well, if he's in Afghanistan, people. Good night. Stay the course. Let them know up front where you stand. It'll keep you in shape. Now, the reason I say this is because just like running, lifting weights, eating right, da-da-da-da-da, keeps your body in shape. Witnessing, church attendance, Bible reading, prayer keeps your soul in shape. That's right. Remember, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening. We'll keep your heart in tune. Remember that? So fasting is excellent for your health. Excellent. Any good doctor will agree that fasting is good for you. It gives your system time to clean out. No, I don't like it. But if all you do is stuff that makes your flesh feel good, you're going to get out of shape really, really quick. And then when you walk from here to there, you'll be breathing hard. So you've got to make it do some stuff it don't like. And you've got to refuse it some stuff it does like. You've got to. And I don't like to put on a long sleeve shirt and tie in 95 degrees. I don't like to come down here on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock when I got a headache. I don't like to go get up on a beautiful Saturday morning when I could take my family to the mountains and come down here and go knock on people's doors. My flesh don't like that, but you've got to stay in shape, to stay the course, to stay right. So another piece of advice I'd have for you this evening would be this. If you want to stay the course, number 3 would be shun evil companions. Shun evil companions. I don't mean to be self-righteous. I don't mean to be holier than thou, but look, you just might as well get used to it. There's some people you cannot hang around and live right. Just face it. Okay, how funny they are. I don't care how much, if they do pay for your supper, I don't care. There are people that I absolutely, I mean, I like them. I'm friends with them. I'm nice to them, but I'm not going to go to the beach with them. You understand that? Light and darkness can walk together except they be agreed. You cannot go on a trip with people who drink alcohol and take God's name in vain and everything and fit together. You just can't do it. You say, well, now if you work with people like that, ain't nothing you can do with it. There's nothing you can do about it. But you can't choose to hang out with people that are going against what everything God told us to do. It's impossible. You say, well, and I know it's hard when it comes to family. When it comes to family, I have family members who drink, but for some reason they never do it when I'm there. they think I'm crazy because I'm a teetotaler. You know, I don't believe in drinking a sip, not a drop. You're a lot safer like that. Call me crazy if you want to. I'll never be an alcoholic. Amen. If you don't drink it, you'll never be an alcoholic. But anyway, I have family that drinks. I know they drink. But when I go there, it's never seen and it's never mentioned. Now, God, and if it is, if we go to a restaurant and they order wine and they're our family, to be nice, I would probably sit there for a minute and be nice about it, but I will not take my family back out to eat with them no more. Call me what you want to. Say what you want to. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Because if you do it, in so many words, you're saying to them, it's no big deal. I don't have a problem with it. If you don't do it, they're going to call yourself righteous. But if you do it, you're going to let your kids think it's okay. And you better get ready to make some tough decisions for your family, for your kid. There are places you take your family where they do sell alcohol, and it's impossible to avoid. If you stop at anywhere you stop from here in California to get gas, it's in the stores. I understand that. I've heard people say, I won't even go in a store that sells alcohol, the preacher, and then get on an airplane that sells it. So you can't get away from it. You can't go out of the world, but you don't have to participate and be around it neither. I don't like restaurants where you think you're in a bar. I don't like restaurants where they put some stupid looking bag on your head and talk dirty. I don't like it. You can go there if you want to. I don't think the Lord leads you there in a place like that. Amen. I don't. They say, well, they got good food. Well, other places do too, brother. Amen. Crystal Burger is better than that. If you have to be around a bunch of cussing, a bunch of drunks. I hope I didn't make nobody mad, but if I did, I did. I mean, if you don't make somebody mad nowadays, you ain't doing much preaching. But look, you got to shun evil companions. I don't see how a Christian could even feel comfortable with a bunch of people around there drunk and cussing and the waitresses and a place like some in places. If you're starving to death, go in there and order you something, take it out if that's the only place there is. But deliberately hang out with sinners. You know what I mean? You can't avoid it altogether. I got that. But you can avoid certain situations like going out on the boat with people and they're all drunk and having your kids around that. You can avoid that. You say, my kids won't go on a boat. We'll figure out something else. Talk to my son-in-law, Tim Newton. They own the marina over yonder. They'll get you a boat to go out on. I ain't been on a boat in years and have absolutely no desire to go out on a boat. I don't know what you want to do that for. But I don't see any point people get out of that. I don't see any point in skiing, nothing, no sport like that. I think it takes all kinds to make the world. I don't see the point in it at all. But they got jet skis and everything. I don't see no reason for that stuff. I think basketball's the only game you'll be in heaven. Because it makes sense. I'm just kidding. It won't be. I'm just saying this. Be careful where you take your kids and who you let them be around. They'll call you self-righteous. They'll call you holier than thou. Oh, you think you're better than we are? No, I don't. But I have certain things that I want to keep my kids away from. And it's nothing personal. Somebody want to say something right there. I got a couple things to say and I'm done. Because it's tough on you. I know it's tough on you. Your sister, your brother, your mom and dad, sometimes I think you can sit there and keep your mouth shut and God will bless you because you're trying to be a good testimony, but don't deliberately plan to be around. Anybody got a comment right there? Okay. Last thing is this. You want to stay the course? Read your Bible, pray, stay with God every day. Do right, shun evil companion. And the last thing is absolutely stay in church. You've got to go to church. I know people say, well, back 200 years ago, them little old churches, these little mountain churches, they just had church on Sunday morning. And some of them just had it once a month. That is true. That is true. But I'll tell you something. You ain't thinking smart. Them little mountain churches 100 years ago didn't have TV. They didn't have movies. They didn't have internet. They didn't have vehicles and cars. They ain't exposed. Some of them kids didn't even know other kids. So they got to go to town a couple times a year. You can't tell me we don't need more church than they did. We need it way more. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. You stay in church. You stay in church. Amen. You stay in church. That's right, brother. Stay in church. When the weather's beautiful, go to church. When it's pouring rain, go to church. When it's freezing cold, go to church. When it's 100 degrees, go to church. Stay in church. I know I'm overboard. I know that. I'd be scared to deliberately not go to church. I'm scared. I don't see how people stand. I don't see how people can just show up when they want to and read the Bible whenever they want to. I don't see how you can live like that. I'm scared something go crazy in my life. So stay in church. Stay in church. Be faithful. Make church your priority. Don't. If your kids get up on Sunday and they say, "Mama, are we going to church today?" Something's wrong. Sunday, ain't it? Yes, we're going to church. We're going to church. We're going to church in this house, in this home. We're going to church. We need all we can get. Okay, I'm done.